Hazard Audio.
This week on Sports Appeal, Steve and Matt get into the MLB pennant races and cover week one of the NFL. That plus the Tweet Zone and Sports Madness, it's right here.
Recorded live at the Launchpad Studios in Chicago, Sports Appeal.
This is gonna be a home run! I just know it, because I can see into the future!
With your hosts, Steve Gross and Matt Axelrod. Play ball.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Sports Appeal. I'm Steve Gross.
And I'm Matt Axelrod.
Find us on Twitter, at The Sports Appeal. All of our music on the show is provided by Full Service. They're our studio band, and you can get all their stuff on iTunes or Spotify or their YouTube channel. With us, as always, is our pizza-hating producer, Johnny Five.
And we are powered by Hazard Audio.
Football season is finally here, so we're going to talk some NFL. Later on in the show, we'll get to a little bit of baseball, too. But first, Matt, football season is the most wonderful time of the year. I'll spare you all from the singing, but love it.
I know what you mean, man. I've been waiting for this for months. We've had the horrible preseason that I watched almost every game of, even though we all know it's terrible, just because I'm in withdrawals from a long summer of no football.
Yeah, we had week one of college football this past weekend, week one of the NFL this week. Our first game is actually tomorrow night, Steelers and Patriots. I think we both think the Patriots are going to win that one, so we don't really need to talk much about it. But you agree with me, Patriots?
Yeah, absolutely. The Patriots are going to win. The Steelers are going to be good this year. They're just not going to be good enough to take on the defending champion Patriots.
Yeah, and missing Le'Veon Bell, Martavis Bryant, and Marquise Pouncey.
Yeah, they got to stop getting suspended over there.
It's a tall order. Marquise Pouncey's hurt for the year, but yeah, you're right about that. Let's move on to the weekend games. Let's start with our top two draft picks. Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, playing each other week one. Who do you think is going to come out on top?
That's going to be a really fun game to watch. Both these teams were not very good last year. I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans because I feel like Marcus Mariota is going to be a little bit more ready to go in the pros. That's what I said a couple weeks ago, and I'm sticking with it.
I agree with you. I a long time ago said I think Jameis Winston's going to be the better quarterback. I still think he will be, but right now Marcus Mariota is a little bit better. He looks really comfortable in his offense. He's really clicking with Kendall Hunter, and Jameis turns the ball over too much. So I'm going to go with Tennessee as well.
The thing about Mariota, and I completely agree that Winston will eventually be the better quarterback, but the thing about Mariota is he's more of a keep it simple, stupid kind of guy. There's not as much that he can actually do. Once Winston starts to really realize his full potential, he can be elite. I don't know if he'll ever get there, but he really can be. Mariota never really will be an elite quarterback, but you can play to his strengths earlier in his career because they are a lot more simple and easy to reach.
Right, and he is relying on Kendall Wright a lot, which is great because Kendall Wright's a really underrated receiver. And Jameis is going to rely on his receivers too, Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson, which he should also be doing. Both teams kind of have spotty offensive lines. The Bucs use three draft picks on offensive linemen. I'm just not sure how it's going to gel together. So the fact that Marcus can move around a little bit more, I think is really going to help him.
Now let's move on to another game that I'm keeping my eye on. You've got the New Orleans Saints and the Arizona Cardinals. The New Orleans Saints were a powerhouse in the league for a long time. The last couple years, they've been very underwhelming. The Arizona Cardinals were really good last year, but then they lost a bunch of key players, and they lost their defensive coordinator, Todd Bowles. But I still like the Cardinals a lot, and I definitely expect them to do well this year. So expect the Cardinals to win this game big, because even though the Saints have Drew Brees, they don't have a whole lot else, especially after giving up Jimmy Graham in a trade in the offseason.
I don't know what to expect from this game, because both of these teams are huge question marks for me. I wouldn't be surprised if either one of these teams went 9-7. I wouldn't be surprised if either one went 6-10. The Cardinals, if they get a full year out of Carson Palmer, could be a really good team. Like we've talked about previously, their defense lost a lot of pieces, and that was the strength of their team last year. The Saints' defense has been the problem for them for the last couple of years. Last year, they had one of the three worst defenses in the league, and Drew Brees, for some reason, has this public perception that, you know, he's taking a step backwards, he's starting to get old. He led the NFL in passing yards last year, so the Saints could still have a really good offense.
Yeah, they definitely could. It's really just the defense that makes me wonder about them. And now the lack of Jimmy Graham and how that's going to affect him.
Yeah, that's a great point. Just look for a bigger workload for Brandon Cooks. And Brandon Coleman, the undrafted wide receiver who is taking first-team reps now at 6'6", 6'7". We've talked about him a little bit before, too. So let's move on to our picks for the week. You want to start with one of yours?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like shit taking this pick. But I definitely expect the Packers to beat the shit out of the Bears this weekend. This game is not going to be pretty. Now, the one thing working in the Bears' favor is the fact that the Packers tend to start slow. Plus, it just being early in the season, you kind of never know what's going to happen. And it's a divisional matchup, and you never know what's going to happen with those either. All of that being said, the Packers have just owned the Bears almost every single time they've played lately. The Bears also looked very spotty on their first-team reps in the preseason, while the Packers looked very good for the most part.
Yeah, Packers are -7 on this game, and I'm going to agree with you on this one. Packers -7 seems like easy money. Alshon Jeffrey, probably not going to play, it sounds like, with a calf injury. Eddie Royal's going to try to play. He said he wants to be out there, but we don't really know yet. So those are two big pieces of Chicago's offense, and the Packers' offense just keeps on clicking, even without Jordy Nelson. So I'm with you 100% on the Packers.
Yeah, I expect the Packers to easily double that spread. So look for the Packers to win by 14 points.
So my three games, I'm picking the Packers like you, and then I'm going to pick the two Monday night games. Let's start with the Eagles by 3 over the Falcons. The Eagles just look like a juggernaut. If Sam Bradford can stay healthy, and both the running backs can stay healthy, DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews, it's going to be impossible to stop this team. And the defenses look pretty good so far, too.
Now, I agree that the Eagles are going to win this game, and probably decisively, but more because the Falcons weren't very good last year than because of the Eagles. Now, don't get me wrong, the Eagles should be very good this year. I don't know if I'd go as far as juggernaut, though. Because, A, I don't trust Sam Bradford to stay healthy. B, I don't trust DeMarco Murray to stay healthy. And even if he is healthy, when running backs put together the kind of season like he had last year with that many touches, they're almost never the same, at least the next year afterwards, and a lot of times for the rest of their careers.
You're not really disagreeing with me, because I said they're going to be a juggernaut if those guys can stay healthy. And if DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews can't stay healthy, then DeMarco's going to have half the workload that he had last year. I see a much more even split between those two guys than most people think. So I really like the Eagles this year. This seems like an easy game to me too. So take the Eagles over the Falcons by 3 points.
My second game, now all three of my picks to cover are away teams. The next one I'm going with is the Miami Dolphins over the Washington Redskins. It's only a 4-point spread, and the Miami Dolphins should easily cover that. They're a much better team than the Washington Redskins, which isn't saying much. Almost every team in the league is a much better team than the Redskins at this point. They are just an absolute mess. From top to bottom, that entire organization is just in shambles.
This seems like a slam dunk too. You gotta be careful in week 1 because everything seems like a slam dunk, but we don't really know anything about these teams yet. But the Redskins definitely have the potential to be the worst team in the NFL this year, and the Dolphins have the potential to be a playoff team. So yeah, I'm totally with you on this. Another year of Ryan Tannehill improving at quarterback. He was a wide receiver in college. He's still learning how to play the quarterback position.
And he was really good last year.
He was much improved last year. Looking for him to take another step forward this year. And I really like Lamar Miller, the running back. He was a top 10 running back last year.
Yes, he was.
Under the radar, but yeah, I really like the Dolphins. They signed Ndamukong Suh, and the Redskins are just a joke. My last pick is the other Monday night game, the Vikings by 2.5 over the 49ers. Speaking of a joke of a franchise right now, the 49ers lost their head coach. They lost their offensive coordinator. Their mumbling defensive coordinator is now the head coach. They lost a bunch of players to retirement, suspensions, all kinds of stuff. And the Vikings are better than they were last year.
And my last pick to cover, also an away team, like I said, is the Indianapolis Colts. They're only favored to win by 3 points against the Buffalo Bills. And the Bills should be good this year, but they have a new coach and a lot of new pieces. They made a big offseason trade. And the Colts are more of the same and a returning playoff team. And the AFC finalists from last year.
There you go.
So they should definitely have no trouble handling the Bills by more than a 3-point margin.
This game's a stay away for me because I thought the spread was going to be higher and I was going to take the Bills and the points. The Colts defense looks bad to me. It looks really bad. I don't like any of the players they have. Well, I do like Vontae Davis, but he's the only player on their team that I actually like. And the Bills offense, they're going to run the ball a lot. They're going to run Tyrod Taylor one way, LeSean McCoy the other way. And I'm really looking for them to have a good offense, especially against a bad team like the Colts. It's going to be a high-scoring game, and I would take the points, but this is not enough points for me to jump on with the Bills, so I'm staying away.
You're looking for a Rex Ryan coach team to have a good offense? Didn't you see him as the head coach of your team for like 9 years? Did you learn nothing?
I guess I should clarify. I mean a good rushing offense. They have a good rushing offense. And they do have Sammy Watkins, so he's better than any of the receivers the Jets had during those years.
That'll do it for our NFL coverage for the week, but stay here every week for the rest of the season for your NFL coverage. When we come back, we're going to talk some college football and do the Tweet Zone.
Hey
guys, it's Steve here. I know a lot of you have been wanting to try out DraftKings.com. Now is the perfect chance to do that. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. You just play whenever you want, pick your sport, draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Last year, $300 million were won at DraftKings.com, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
Welcome back to Sports Appeal. We're going to start off this segment with the Tweet Zone.
Tweet Zone. Hit the tweets.
And our first tweet on the Tweet Zone is coming to us from at GHAM614. 1 month till the start of NHL season. Could we see a New York versus New York Eastern Final this year?
We could. It's definitely possible. The Rangers made it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. The Islanders were a pretty good team. I don't see why we couldn't.
Yeah, it's definitely possible, but for my money, I'm taking the Tampa Bay Lightning to get back there again. The Tampa Bay Lightning are so good. They're so young. The Blackhawks had so much trouble handling them in the championship.
Yeah, they're a really fast, really big team, and they're young. Tampa Bay, obviously, I think, is the favorite in the East. The Rangers did lose Marty St. Louis, who retired. So, yeah, I like Tampa Bay, but there's a good chance it could be New York versus New York.
Yeah, definitely. Hockey especially is so unpredictable once you get to the playoffs because goals can be so fluky. It certainly wouldn't surprise me.
And our next tweet, at Tolmo09. Does Jake Arrieta have a shot at the Cy Young?
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit last week. He absolutely does if he keeps pitching the way he is right now. I mean, he hasn't given up an earned run in his last 29 innings, and over his last 7 starts, he's given up 2 earned runs. But if the season ended today, it would still definitely be Zach Greinke. His ERA is under 2 still.
It's 1.68 as of this moment, so yeah. I don't see how you can argue with that at all. Jake Arrieta has no shot, just like everybody else in the National League. It's Greinke.
All it takes is one bad game for Greinke for his ERA to get back over 2 and to be even higher than Jake Arrieta's. Now, Jake Arrieta, if he can continue doing what he's doing now, his ERA should be sitting right around where Zach Greinke's is by the end of the season. Now, granted, that's a tall order to continue pitching earned run free baseball, but he looks utterly dominant right now, and at this rate, he'll be sitting right around 1.7 ERA if he can keep this up.
Keywords, utterly dominant right now. Greinke's been doing it all season. Arrieta wasn't even an all-star.
And our last tweet, at Jeffrey R. Horn. After week 1, who are the worst FBS teams and who are the most overrated FBS teams?
Well, the worst FBS teams gotta be the Kansas Jayhawks. They lost to South Dakota State, which was probably their only shot at getting a win this year. Looking at the rest of their schedule, I just don't see where they're going to win a game.
Honestly, I agree with you, but a close second is going to be Eastern Michigan. They lost to Old Dominion this weekend. Only by 4 points, they lost 38-34, but that's Old Dominion.
Yeah, that's a good call. Old Dominion, not a strong football team, so losing to them is pretty embarrassing, but Kansas losing to South Dakota State, they've been 9-5 in the FCS the last 2 years in a row, so not even a great FCS team. Kansas, they're just not going to win any games this year. Big old bagel for the Jayhawks. That insult to injury for the marching band antics that went on with Kansas State this weekend.
I must have missed that one. Can you break that down?
You missed the Kansas State marching band? All right. So they, while they were marching around at halftime, the Kansas State marching band formed the Kansas Jayhawk, and they also formed what they called the Starship Enterprise, and had the Enterprise fly directly into the Jayhawk's mouth. So I'm sure you can imagine what that looked like from above with the blimp. It didn't look good. It looked
a little suggestive.
It looked phallic.
Why the hell isn't this on Sports Madness? And for the second part of the question, I'm going to sidestep the question a little bit, honestly. And instead of going with the most overrated, I want to go with the team that I just am not ready to buy into yet. And that's Alabama. Now, the Crimson Tide are always really good. They're currently ranked as number 2 in the AP poll after their victory last week. But I'm just not ready to crown them yet. Now, they lost their quarterback and their starting running back to the draft this past offseason. So they're bringing in a new quarterback. And granted, the backup running backs that they had were pretty good. But I just need to see it first.
I mean, didn't we see it from Derrick Henry? He He's the running back in Alabama. 147 yards and 3 touchdowns on 13 carries. That is outstanding. I don't care who you are.
I mean, they beat an inferior Wisconsin team.
They were ranked 20th.
They were ranked 20th, that's true. That's still a significant difference from where Bama was ranked, and they only beat them by 2 scores.
They only won by 18, but they were up 35-10 with 5 minutes left in the game, and Wisconsin had 40 rushing yards for the entire game. This Alabama team is for real. My most overrated team, though, is going to be TCU, the team that Alabama leapfrogged in the rankings this week. They had a really tough time with Minnesota, which is okay, because Minnesota's a decent team, but a lot of people were expecting big things from TCU this year, with Trevon Boykin being a favorite for the Heisman, and I don't buy in.
That'll do it for this segment. When we come back, we've got some baseball and sports madness.
Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com. Last year, $300 million were won, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
This is Sports Appeal. I'm Steve. That's Matt. We've been talking a lot of football. Let's do some baseball.
All right, we got some real exciting division races and a wild card race going on that's also exciting in the American League and not so much in the National League. So let's talk about the AL first.
Sounds good to me. My Yankees hot on the heels of the Blue Jays, 1.5 games back. Both teams have been playing really, really well lately. This is going to come down to the wire. I think it's going to come down to pitching, and Toronto has Marcus Stroman coming back, so that worries me a lot. He's been out all year, and he's coming back just in time for the playoffs. I'm a little bit worried about that.
Yeah, definitely. The Blue Jays have been playing really well since they made a flurry of high-profile trades at the trade deadline. The Yankees have been playing well pretty much all season. Now, it definitely does look like we're going to have a photo finish here. Sorry, Steve, the Blue Jays are still going to take the division, but it does look like the Yankees will take that first wildcard spot.
Yeah, the Yankees should take that first wildcard spot, which would be fine with me. I would prefer to win the division, but you're right about the Blue Jays. They have been en fuego lately.
On fire.
The Yankees are still 4 games clear of the Rangers, and the Yankees are on pace for 91 wins, so I'm not worried about the wild card race at all.
Yeah, there's no reason you should be. The Rangers are an inferior team to the Yankees. I see no reason for them to catch up. In fact, their run differential on the season is still in the negatives. They're at negative 26, even though they're 9 games over 500.
And that's not to mention that the Rangers are currently occupying the second wild card spot. So the Twins and the Rangers would both have to pass the Yankees, or the Rangers and another team, looks like the Twins right now, in order for the Yankees to not make the playoffs. So I'm really not that concerned.
Now, for the other two divisions, you've got the Kansas City Royals just running away with the AL Central. They're 12 games up on the Minnesota Twins, so no real excitement there. But in the AL West, you've got the Houston Astros and the Texas Rangers, both those Texas teams, 1 game apart. The Astros, as of recording, are 1 game up on the division lead from the Rangers.
I buy into the Astros a lot more than the Rangers. If the Yankees were to play the Astros in a 1-game playoff, I'd be a lot more worried than if we were playing the Rangers. The Astros are so talented. They can put up 12 runs. They can shut you out. They scare me.
Yeah, absolutely. And Carlos Correa is just a beast.
Oh, yeah. He's probably going to be the AL Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, no question there.
Let's move on to the National League, where the Washington Nationals have fallen apart at the seams. Yesterday, they had what I think is the worst loss in major leagues this year. They beat up Matt Harvey. They scored a bunch of runs. If they won the game, they would have only been 4 games back from the Mets, and they ended up blowing it late in the game. It's just crushing.
The Nationals have completely fallen apart, and we've been talking about them all season. They really should be much better than this. It's hard to understand why they can't put it together with all of the talent they have on that roster.
Let's talk about the Dodgers. They've been on a tear lately. They've been playing really, really well, and they've actually caught up to the Cubs for the 3rd best record in the National League. They're on pace for 90 wins. Actually, they're on pace for 92 wins right now. And they're 8.5 clear of the Giants for their division. I think they're safe.
Yeah, they have gone 8-2 in their last 10. Meanwhile, the Giants have gone 3-7 in their last 10. So the Giants, who everybody, myself included, was talking about all year, oh yeah, maybe they're just kind of treading water now, but they're going to turn it on. They always do at the end of the season and make a run in the playoffs. Not looking likely at all. In fact, they are now 8.5 games back on the Cubs, as well as 8.5 games back on the Dodgers for both the wild card and their division. That's a lot of ground to make up with only about 25 games left.
And the St. Louis Cardinals have been just dominating the National League all year. They have been sliding lately. They're only 5-5 in their last 10 games. They just almost got swept by the Cubs. They pulled out a win today, and they're only 5 games ahead of the Pirates for the division right now. This is the closest this division has been in a long time.
Yeah, and the crazy thing, too, is the Pirates are actually only 4-6 in their last 10. So if the Pirates can actually turn it around, which is a little more likely than the Cardinals, just because the Cardinals, it seems like they've been running on steam and doing so well in it all year, but they've got a lot of people hurt. It's a little surprising that they've been able to maintain and dominate as well as they have with the roster troubles that they've had with the players getting hurt all season.
It does look like they've been a little bit of a mirage lately, and this is the wrong time to be losing steam. You do not want to be on a downhill trend at the end of the season. This is good news for your Cubs because they've been on the upswing. They're getting hot at the right time.
Yes, they are. And they are still 7.5 games back, but they do still have 3 games left against the Cardinals, and they've got 7 games left against the Pirates. So the Cubs, if they can keep it up, they do have a very strong chance of actually taking at least the first wild card spot. They even do still stand an outside chance of catching up to the Cardinals and winning the division, which would obviously be the most ideal because no one wants to gamble on that one game playoff, even if you do have Jake Arrieta just throwing hot fire.
They're not gonna catch the Cardinals. You're on crack. Let's do sports madness.
Sports madness.
Let's start with the New England Patriots. So just when you think they're not gonna be in the news anymore, guess what happens? ESPN drops this huge report with all kinds of allegations in them. One of the allegations in there is that during the Spygate days, so that would be one of the Patriots' past indiscretions, they used to have a low-level assistant go into opposing teams' locker rooms and steal sheets of paper that had those teams' scripted plays on them. So they would essentially know the first 10 or 20 plays of that team's offensive game plan.
Yeah, and the funniest part about that, too, is that apparently it was so well known after a while that these teams would leave out fake scripted plays so that the Patriots would be planning against the wrong plays.
They actually started calling it the Patriot swipe. So I'm getting tired of these Patriots fans saying, oh, it's a witch hunt. These were actual Patriots employees who were saying that they did this.
Yeah, the Patriots are cheaters. Next story. Now, I follow sports, and yet I learned today that Floyd Mayweather Jr. is fighting this weekend because no one cares about this fight. No one's going. It's not even sold out yet.
I just saw online that there are still 2,000 seats available for Saturday's fight between Floyd Municipal Bonds Mayweather and Andre Berto. That's unbelievable. Every Floyd Mayweather fight should be sold out. He's undefeated.
Yeah, and this is either the last or one of the last fights that he's ever going to fight. So people should want to see this, and yet just no one cares anymore.
This really speaks to the level of respect that boxing fans have for Floyd Mayweather. It's just not there.
It also speaks to the lack of respect that boxing fans have for his opponent, Berto.
Speaking of lack of respect, I'm losing respect for my favorite basketball player, Carmelo Anthony. It seems like every time we talk about him, it's something negative and ridiculous. It's starting to be too much to handle for me. So this porn star named Jasmine Cashmere called out Carmelo Anthony on Twitter for supposedly arranging a sex date with her and not paying her the $15,000 he promised to pay her to have sex.
Do we know how much he did pay her, or was it just none of it?
We do know that he paid some, because her first tweet said, "So one of y'all favorite NBA players don't want to pay me the rest of my money after eating this last week."
Oh, God.
So we know he paid some of the money. We just don't know how much.
Maybe he just didn't think it was worth full price.
If you guys haven't seen this, look it up. You can find it, and you can see all the tweets from this porn star. But she called him out big time. And then she tweeted out, "Oh, now that I'm going public with this, I got my money." Paraphrasing, obviously. But then something went wrong with the payment, and she was right back on the bandwagon. She even tweeted out Carmelo's phone number and said, "Call this man.
Oh,
I
no.
need my money."
Oh, Carmelo. All that money they paid you to stay on that shitty, shitty team. Sorry, Steve.
That's all right.
And you can't even pay this girl what you promised to pay her. Come on now.
I'm just happy to know he's screwing somebody besides Phil Jackson.
Thanks so much for listening. That's Steve. I'm Matt. We're produced by Johnny Five, powered by Hazard Audio. Tweet at us at The Sports Appeal. And playing us out is going to be Everybody by our studio band, Full Service.
I'm never Everybody lost him. Everybody knows that's the way life goes.
You know what I mean.
All right, so we got some real good division. All right, we got some real exciting division races. All right, fuck you. All right, we got some real. All right, we got some real exciting playoff races. All right, we got some real exciting division races and a wild card. God damn it. Stop laughing.
Getting thrown down. I was just smiling. I didn't do anything.
All right, we got some real exciting playoff. God, fuck.
Hazard Audio.